And now we come to chapter 3 of the first letter of Peter. Wives, I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, of course. Wives, in the same way, accept the authority of your husbands. All you need to know here, you probably know already, but the idea is Paul assumed something. So did absolutely every one of his contemporaries, whether Roman, Greek, or Jewish, that there was a divine order. And in that divine order, the male was considered higher in the order than the female. Now, we wouldn't see it that way today. It's clearly wrong. It's largely based on something I've talked about with you before. There was a biological assumption at the beginning of it, namely that the male seed was understood by everybody except a there's a tiny little Greek group that seemed to have had another idea, but it was universally assumed that the male seed, like the seed of a tree, was the life of the tree, and that that seed was planted. The woman was like the garden. She didn't contribute to the life. She nurtured the life. Well, if the male is the source of human life, that would put him, surely, in the providence of God, wouldn't it? In a position of, without the male, life cannot go on. And in fact, only the male can hand life on. Well, if that's their assumption, doesn't that make the male the vehicle for human life? And the woman, beautifully, of course, but receptacle. She receives, the male gives. Now, if you've got that mentality, it wouldn't surprise me if every man in the world, whether he liked it or not, no matter how humble he was, and every woman in the world, just assumed that that was the divine order. Once you come to know, which we know, that the male seed is not a seed at all, but it's only holding part of what life needed, and that the woman contributes the other half, absolutely, and without, then they're both the source of life. And only together can life come. Well, that changes, doesn't it? Your whole view of what you mean by natural order. But don't expect Paul to have that view, because he didn't have the biology behind it. So, but assuming that view, a wrong assumption, but please keep in mind, because some people think if it's in the scriptures, it means it's absolutely true, as though God is just talking nowhere to nobody, up in the sky. This is, if God's going to reveal something to you, he's got to reveal it to you. A woman or a man, you can't be both. A person who's older or younger, you can't be both. A person who speaks English or some other language, you can't. You know what I mean? He has to pick a real person. Paul is a real person with real thoughts, real assumptions, real view. And if God can't reveal love and the meaning of Jesus to a real person, he can't reveal it to anybody. Because he's not. It's not like a piano. What are those? Not a piano, but those other things where you put a little bit of paper in, they go blah, 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 blah. Pianola, is it? Well, we're not pianolas. God isn't playing on lifeless bits of buttons and bits of paper are going through with holes in them. He's actually, people are seeing something they haven't seen before. Real people are really seeing something, and they're writing out of their prayer. So it's inspired, but necessarily limited. Socially, historically, linguistically, and every other way, it has to be. So let's be fair on Paul. He's assuming this order, but look what he says. So he's not saying to women, hey, you, submit to your husbands. They're all submitting to their husbands. They're all in that order. They're taking that for granted. But he's telling them how to do it. And he's going to tell them, don't do it absolutely. Accept the authority, or really, hupotasso, live in the order, the right order, socially. So that even if some of them, he's assuming now the woman is a Christian. He's assuming the man's not in this first part. Because the woman, I'm jumping ahead a bit. So we're talking about a woman who's become a Christian, clearly. But her husband may well not be. So, wives, accept the authority of your husband so that even if some of them do not obey the word, see, they're not Christian. They haven't heard. They're not living the Christian life. They may be won over without a word, there's a thought, by their wives' conduct. So she doesn't want them to nag their husband into it, but he just wants them by living beautifully in the order that society expected, of course. So how else can you do it? The husband isn't going to be converted by a whole new view of the world, but the husband may be won over. When they see the purity, purity meaning clarity, it's a good, clarity is often a better word than purity, because the word, well, the word purity, at least in my mind, has always been associated with sex. Sorry, but that's how it's been with me. You know, like, and on property, that's pretty normal, isn't it? Whereas purity, sex is part of it, but everything's got to be pure. It's like water. Your heart, your life, your love, your thanks, everything. Pure just means unadulterated, just clear. Claritas in Latin. So when they see your clarity, the clarity of your love, now the next word is terribly important, and reverence, as I said earlier here, reverence is phobos. He means fear of the Lord in the sense we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. When they see not only the clarity of your loving, but they see the reverence, they see your awe and wonder in the presence of God, you might draw them, like the centurion was drawn by Jesus' reverence, into this man is the Son of God. They may appreciate something in you, and they wonder what it is that makes you such a beautiful wife. Do not, now he goes on to a common thing, you find it all through the prophets and Timothy. This is a, I don't know how big an issue this is, but it's probably basically all right. Do not adorn yourselves outwardly by braiding your hair and wearing gold ornaments or fine clothing. Rather, let your adornment be the inner self with its lasting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. I'm quite sure if you met Paul in the tavern and said to him, I mean, I hope you can see what he's saying. He's not against. He's just saying, look, if you're going to be adorned, let it be inner adornment. Like it's the comparison that he's interested in. What's the point of putting on a face and looking attractive if your thoughts are unattractive and your heart's unattractive and your spirit's unattractive? Well, we know that, don't we? So it's not that... who cares if you want to look a bit more attractive and have a party? Go for it. It's not a big issue at all. But it is an issue if you're going to find your beauty and attractiveness in your appearance rather than your soul. It was in this way long ago that the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by accepting the authority of their husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. You've become her daughters as long as you... Here's another limitation on their obedience to the male. As long as you do what is good. That's a big limitation. If the husband wants the wife to do what is not good, she'll disobey, and rightly. He's not saying do what your husband tells you. He's saying, within the limits of his world, don't be trying to be insubordinate. The same advice he's been given to slaves and the same advice he gave to the people generally. Okay, you're in a subordinate position. That's what he thought, and that's what everybody else thought. Okay, live it. Do it beautifully. Attract your husband by the virtue of your soul, and... do what's right, though. Do what's good. Live your Christian life. Don't let him stop you doing that. And if he does, well, then you'll have to disobey. And some of them did, and many young women and older women were martyred, as you well know, because they refused to do what their husband demanded they do or whatever. Never let, here's the final point, never let fears alarm you. Don't let your husband intimidate you into doing what he wants, which is against your Christian life. I actually think, and it doesn't matter what I think, not even being married, I've got no right to have an opinion on it, am I? But I think, granted, this is my only point, granted the assumptions of the day, that's pretty good advice, I would think. And no reason for suggesting that Paul is anti-feminist or anything, or anti-woman. He's giving them extraordinarily sensible advice in their world to live pure lives, beautiful lives, and to let the soul be enriched. But in that position which they're in, which they have no way of breaking, by the way, there's no change going to come. It won't come for centuries, unfortunately. Even Christianity couldn't bring a big change to that because Christianity is absorbed by real people. And if real people are male chauvinist, you're going to get a male chauvinist Christian. Do you know what I mean? Until something happens here, now we've got no excuse. I mean, We know too much today to keep reinforcing the first century position of male and female in the church or outside the church. But aren't we finding it fairly slow? The movement of the male church is still slow, some of the male churches. But I won't say too more about that, because husbands, in the same way, now, show consideration for your wives. The assumption changes when we get to husbands, because it would be normal practice in the world that the wife would follow the husband's religion. So, you know, that's the way, because she belonged to him in a way. So if the husband became a Christian, one can assume the wife did too, automatically. If the wife did, one can't make the other assumption. So already having a Christian wife of a non-Christian husband is quite countercultural and quite, it's already a big thing to be doing. They were doing it. But husbands, in the same way, show consideration for your wives in your life together, paying honour to the woman as the weaker sex. Well, she is weaker physically, and I guess that's the point he's making. Since they too are also, normally anyhow, since they too are also heirs of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing may hinder your prayers. If you're not treating your wife, Christian husband, if you're not treating her with this profound respect and tenderness, etc., how can you go and pray and the prayer be fair dinkum? Can't be.